6:30, it's time now for Healthline.
Just because you're active, it doesn't mean that sugary drinks aren't doing damage to you and your children. One in every three of our children is overweight or obese. Sugary drinks increase the risk of obesity and type 2 diabetes. It can also bring on heart attack and stroke. Our children have a right to nutritious foods. It's time for government to remove sugary drinks from our schools.
A message from the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados and partners.
And it's time for us to say a special good evening to Andrea and Stacia. Welcome. Unmute, please.
Good night. Sorry. Hi. Welcome. Thank you for having us. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Same here. Thanks. Nice to be here with you.
All right. So my name is Stacia Whitaker, and I am a registered dietitian nutritionist. I'm also a member of the Heart and Stroke Foundation Association and the Childhood Obesity Prevention Collegiate. And this evening, we are so happy to be here with you once again with Healthline. And we have our lovely nutritionist, Miss Andrea Griffith. She's a community nutrition officer, a part of the National Nutrition Center and the Ministry of Health and Wellness. Welcome, Andrea, again to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having me.
Awesome. Now, this evening, the title that we're playing with this evening is Eating Healthy on an Affordable Budget. Eating Healthy on an Affordable Budget. And I believe we all can find this topic very interesting. I've been a nutritionist myself. I'm always asked, you know, is that an oxymoron? Are you serious? Can you really eat healthy on a affordable budget? Eating healthy is expensive. You know, you hear all of these type of terms coming from your patients or your clients. What do you experience? Do you experience the same thing, Andrea? Do you find people are challenged?
The very same thing. But you know what I find interesting? The line to the fast food restaurants are forever long. You know, so I find it really interesting. So this is a very interesting topic for this afternoon, because I say all the time, if you can find money for fast food, you certainly can find money to eat healthy.
Absolutely. You know what I remember? We talked a bit today, Andrea, and there's something you said to me that stuck with me. You said you like to keep it on a grassroots level, and I appreciate that, because we know nutrition, we want to be practical, we want to be realistic, and we want people to be able to apply the information we share. So I love that you've already, you know, as they would say, you started to fire some shots. And you're mentioning about our fast food and our lines. And girl, I can attest, even the roads, well, now you're doing drive through. So, you know, the roads are very congested, and it's correct. If we can make those choices, we can also make choices to buy and eat more healthily. So this evening, Andrea, I want you to kind of share with me, you know, some of the things that we can do, because there's a challenge out there. The current challenge is that we are seeing both adults and children, and that there is the growing overconsumption of unhealthy foods and drinks. And this is leading, obviously, we keep hearing about obesity, and also is directly related to our NCDs, our non-communicable diseases. And even now in this COVID environment, we're hearing more and more about these NCDs. Definitely. So what are you seeing? What are you seeing in the field as a community nutrition officer, and these correlation between NCDs and obesity in both our adults and mainly our children population?
Well, Cecilia, these are very troubling times that we are living in. In all fairness, we have COVID, we have high unemployment rates. There's a lot going on. And even though I made a joke with the fast food restaurants and so on, there are really and truly a lot of persons who are grappling with finances every single day. And I have to get realistic in my practice in the clinic. I have to say to patients, look, it comes down to what can you afford? And first off the bat, I say, listen, we have to be realistic in what kind of monies you are playing with. Because it doesn't make any sense me saying to a patient to eat X amount of vegetables, X amount of fruits, when they don't have the money to play with. So one of the ground rules that I like to lay down, spend according to your budget. Eat as healthy as your budget. budget allows. So it doesn't make any sense. And I say this to persons all the time. If your budget is saying to you, you cannot buy an abundance of fruits and vegetables, you certainly cannot have a budget for junk food, for fast food, and for frivolous things. We have to take our health into consideration. We are living in a society of obesity, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, and the complications associated with those conditions. So it's not a situation where you have diabetes or hypertension and it ends there. You have all the repercussions of these diseases. For example, you're looking at kidney failure, heart attacks, strokes, amputations, blood clots. So you know, we can go on and on. So realistically speaking, we are looking to nip this thing in the bud. We are looking to actually save a life. We are looking to enhance life. Persons talking about living long. It's not a matter of living long. It's a matter of how healthy are you living. Because you can live long and you can be on your deathbed or sick bed or whatever the case may be. So we have to take your budget into consideration. So straight off the bat, I say to persons, what can you afford? And one of the things we have to do is take advantage of what we have available locally.
Agreed.
I'm a country girl. I'm from the north. I'm a St. Lucie girl. And listen, we have grown provisions in abundance. Ronnie, I can see you smiling. We have grown provisions in abundance. When I go on the plantation, when they have sweet potatoes selling by the rod or cassava by the hole, as they would say, I go and persons look at me like, what are you doing in here? Hello. I am taking advantage of $10 and $15 a rod. Because those
same workers
from in town and all over the Barbados will come to the same plantations in St. Lucie and wherever they are and buy them by the same rod. And then they're selling in Bristol and all over the place at $3, $4, $5 a pound. So I take advantage of that. I put my sneakers on. I go because, you know, Stacia, dirt does wash off.
Mm-hmm. And you get some good exercise, you know, just pulling your own rods of sweet potato.
You get the sunshine.
Yeah,
so many people. It is unbelievable that I meet people from my same economic and employment status. It's amazing. But then we have persons who really and truly cannot afford the $4 a pound, who will say to you, I ain't going in no hot sun and in no muddy ground digging no potato or pulling no cassava. When they hit town, I will go in town and get them. So realistically speaking, I say, but how broke can you be if you're not willing to do what you have to do and need to do to take care of yourself and your family, to eat better, to eat more healthy? Secondly, when you go to the farmer or the farmer's market or wherever selling stuff is selling in abundance, they're usually cheaper. When we buy things in season, they're usually cheaper, you know. So I say to persons, start from eating based on, I feel to eat this and I feel to eat that. Stop listening to your licorice palate and eat according to your pocket. And we have to be realistic and say, well, okay, okras are in season. This is in season. I'm going to capitalize on what is in season. I'm going to prep them, I'm going to clean them, I'm going to blanch them, which is a pre-cooking that will enhance the nutritional value, color, and texture of your food before you freeze it. And then when you freeze it, you have it in your freezer for however long. And you would have capitalized on it being in sale, gotten it cheaper, saving some money in your pocket.
Andrea, I love a lot of what you're saying. But you know what's coming to my mind, and I see it a lot too. A lot of our families and a lot of our households are not taking advantage of all this good food you're talking about, these grumpy visions that we can be a part of, just even reaping ourselves or even growing in our backyards. So even as you talk about the okras, you know, I've done presentation with younger groups. And when you start to talk about these things, you know, you see the face change and the face is just, oh, you know, it's nothing that they like or that they're accustomed to. So how can we get parents to really start to switch the script a bit and really incorporate these nutritious food? We know the benefits of them. We know the nutritional value compared to a lot of the processed foods that parents may often buy and feed their kids. So what strategies can we really get even our parents on board in trying to introduce these type of foods on the plates for their children?
Yes, that's a tough question. And many days I ask myself the same question, and it comes from, to, I guess, persons are not broke enough. People have this sense of pride that, you know, it is the norm to purchase certain things, eat certain things, behave a certain way, and they want to be part of the status quo. So they have to behave like that, even though they cannot afford it. Sometimes I'm with persons, friends, family members, and, you know, they will say, you know, I am so broke, I don't have this and I can't have that, but I need to have a ham for Christmas, but I need to have a turkey for Christmas, and all these different things. And I'm saying, but if you don't have it, why do you need to buy into it? Why can't you just live according to your pocket? And it is really sending a negative message out there. I think persons have to be, one, honest with themselves. We have to look and see how we can stretch our money. We have to be wise. We also have, and this is extremely important, to set an example for our children. What are we teaching our children when we go to unnecessary means to provide what we truly cannot afford? What are we telling our kids? And the things, a lot of the things that we go after, Stacey, as you said, they're possessed foods, they're unhealthy foods, they're things that we don't even need, things that have no right being part of our lifestyle, except on the for an occasional treat. So we have to understand that what we are demonstrating right now, we are setting an example for our children. Our children who are already compromised by the bad practices that we have.
Okay. All right. So we're going to take a break, and we hope to continue this conversation pretty soon. It's Healthline. We're here on VOB. We're talking about eating healthy on an affordable budget. We want to hear from you pretty soon.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention.
Please.
All these sweeties on salty chips.
Them just give hypertension.
Got some old-fashioned itch. Do a tilt it back and start sipping.
What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed.
Steady watching movies like 24-7.
Is try on going you garden. I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer,
we mind is alarming.
Jeez, on bread. Real talk, that Gary wanna sell us, no?
Minutes to 7 o'clock, Healthline on Voice of Barbados.
Hi, we are back talking to Andrea Griffith, Nutrition, Community Nutrition Officer. We're looking at eating healthy on an affordable budget, and Andrea is just getting started. She's getting heated. I can hear the passion in her talk, and I know it, Andrea. I'm with you. I'm with you trying to, you know, encourage our households and our families, because our children are at stake. And why is it so important for children in particular, though, to eat healthily and to consume certain types of food? I think sometimes we need to get to the basis of it, get them to understand, get our parents to understand why this is so important. So what are some of the key foods that we need to ensure are in our children's diet?
Okay, well, the first thing I want to say here is you asked a very healthy question, why it is so important for kids to eat healthy at this stage. Stacia, whatever we do now, we are going to meet it down the road. So when we introduce our children to all forms of unhealthy things, make it in your mind, we are going to have a very unhealthy adult population. It is bad now, and it's going to be a whole lot worse down the road. The thing is, we as adults know we had a decent start with our parents, with the ground provisions, the oats, the barley, and so on. A lot of these children have an unhealthy start from in utero, from in the tummy, during pregnancy. You know, so unfortunately, a lot of the diseases that we're facing are called adult onset conditions, adult onset diabetes, hypertension, and so on, where persons over the age of 40 usually develop those conditions. But we are seeing those conditions now in children. 7 and 8 years old children have hypertension, 11 years old children having strokes, and so on. It's ludicrous. And the sad part is, it is food related. That's the unfortunate thing. It is what parents are feeding the children. Long gone are the days now I say to a lot of my patients, go back to the days of what granny used to feed you. The oats, the barley, the sago, linseed, that I like to call flaxseed, no, because this new term, you know, get back to grassroots, the ground provisions, you know, and the thing is, the smaller portions of meat, because back in the day, you weren't having a lot of meat to deal with. So you had a lot of peas and so on going on in your pot, limited processed foods. And the thing is, that older generation that living to 100 right now, they're not about physical activity. They were always on the go, always working 2 or 3 jobs, working on the plantation, coming home. They had kitchen garden. They had all the animals and stuff like that. You know, so they had a physical activity aspect in there. Now, we have parents who need to tell the children, come up with the horse and get him black. I don't even understand the term. I don't even understand it. Come up with the horse and get him black. What color we are? Right? And it really hurts me because I don't think they realize the amount of damage that they're doing their children, that children can sit down for hours on end playing all kind of games, watching television screens and everything, but complain about who's homeschooling and the amount of time that they're spending in front of a screen to do school work. But the same kids would tell you, I come from a teaching background. And my children will come in the classroom on mornings tired. I was like, what happened? What time did you go to bed? 1 o'clock doing work. No, my homework ain't done. But they were up 1 o'clock watching TV. These children can tell you about empire. They can tell you about how to get away with murder. Really? So even their bedtimes, they're allowed to go to bed at whatever crazy times they choose to. And they spend all of this time in front of a screen. Whatever screen it is, I don't care. Instead of being outside for at least an hour of physical activity a day. Because remember, the chores are now missing from, you know, yesteryear. Those chores are gone. We have available to us transportation. Every time we blink, there's a bus, a private car, whatever the case might be. Not even a bicycle, right? So that is gone as well. Then we are feeding them whatever we choose to. I did a presentation at a primary school one day. The class, I think, was about 7 and 8 year olds. And I asked the question, what was for breakfast? Now, I silly old me, I'm thinking like pancakes and bakes and muffins. And the guy said, a little boy said to me, his mother usually would buy KFC on evening and had enough to spill over for breakfast. What kind of crazy have we become? How do we think we can justify feeding our children fast food like that? It has its place, it's a treat. But how can you give a kid? That's abuse. It's abuse.
I don't think a lot of parents see it as abuse. You know, sometimes we think abuse might be verbal or hitting with a stick, but feeding your children unhealthily is certainly, I would say it is abuse. And therefore, the rights of the child is to have healthy food choices, good health. And I think a lot of our families are failing. Let me just get the number, and we want to hear from you out there. The number here at the station is 434-1790. That's 434-1790. If you have something to add to what we're saying, if you have an experience to share, please call, and we want to hear from you. We're talking about eating healthy on an affordable budget, and we're here with our community nutritionist, Miss Andrea Griffith. She's keeping it real. She's all grassroots all the way. We'll take a break at this time.
Just because you're active, it doesn't mean that sugary drinks aren't doing damage to you and your children. 1 in every 3 of our children is overweight or obese. Sugary drinks increase the risk of obesity and type 2 diabetes. It can also bring on heart attack and stroke. Our children have a right to nutritious foods. It's time for government to remove sugary drinks from our schools.
A message from the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados and partners.
Four three 4341790, this is Healthline, and we have a caller. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Hello. Good evening. Hello.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for joining us. Hello, yeah, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, and I probably would like to say something about eating healthy in Barbados. First of all, you know that the powers that be make it as expensive as possible to get healthy foods from our supermarkets, right? And that is only one part of the aspect. The other part is that there's hardly any anywhere, right? And everybody is, you know, acclimatized to shopping at supermarkets for the food, right? The point must be emphasized that a lot of food grows in the ground in Barbados. There's edibles that people don't seem to value nowadays. There's cassava. There's potato, right? And I have always said, from my little knowledge, that Barbados could grow all the food it needs, but that is not pushed. But you know why? The supermarkets make money out of importing cheap food. And let me tell you, not only cheap food, some of it is bad, right? I will go on from there, right? And I want to make emphasis on the flour thing. Flour is a concentrated form of carbohydrates. It cannot be healthy unless it is accompanied with the amount of fiber and other nutrients that would help to make it properly digestible, right? White flour, let me explain to you, is really and truly poison. And people talk of sugar. A spoonful of white flour is really more sugar than a spoonful of sugar, because sugar is crystalline, right? And it takes up more space. All you have to do is add water to flour, basically, and you got enough beer sugar molecules. It is a poison. And nobody seems to want to tell people, we are eating too much white bread, right? We have other flours like guinea corn flour and so on. Guinea corn grows very well in Barbados. And cassava flour that we need to migrate to and have people make recipes and so on with that. But we must tackle the flour problem, because I am sure that it's more responsible for diabetes than sugar, right? And I am hoping, right, that instead of just pushing against sugar, people recognize that, okay? Also, the prices of food sometimes is artificially jacked up. I would like the authorities to try to control these prices, okay? I don't know what else you could do, right? Because we live in an environment where money, the bottom line, is more important than people's health, and we got to switch that around, right? Otherwise, I like your program. I keep pushing, right? But don't forget that people of days gone by used to do a lot of exercise, and there's nothing can beat exercise. If you exercise a lot, not that you're to eat bad food, you can eat a lot of bad food and remain healthy. If you do not exercise like all these kids. You know, when we were growing up, there was never a pasture that wasn't quoted every day.
Sir, you're making some really valid points, and we really appreciate your comments.
No.
But right? We want to touch on some of the things you have said. So we'd like you to give us an opportunity to respond to some of the remarks that you have made, and we really appreciate your points.
No problem, but yeah, we need to introduce
those. Thank you kindly.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Stacey, thank you, Stacey. So one of the things I want to touch on, he has a valid point.
Yes,
in terms of white flour, we want to amplify the use. We want to push.
I'm going to play a devil's advocate. You know, we have a saying, good flour, never sour. So, but we know as nutritionists, we really want people to, if they are going to use, we want to choose their whole grains. Preferably,
we want to choose the whole grains,
Then those refined grains, because there is no fiber that is really, it doesn't have the nutritional quality
nutritional
as
value.
Whole grains. Yeah,
exactly. However, I will say everything has its place. And we have to remember the conversation is healthy eating on a budget. So we have to be mindful not to exclude persons who can only afford certain things. So the gentleman spoke of guinea flour. Yes, and there are a wide variety of flours on the market. And I'll share something with you. When we are speaking of budget, we are looking at oat flour. We can spend money on barley flour. And if money is really tight, you can get a combination of barley and oat flour. Same package, like $3 a pound. There's something called dark rye. It is a little bit on the expensive side. It's like $7 per pound, depending on where you get it. However, it has a very high nutritional value in terms of the fiber content. Corn is also a whole grain, high in flour. So you can incorporate your oats, you can incorporate barley and a little bit of dark rye and some corn into your white flour that will produce a more nutritious flour. Now, there's another flour on the market that's a multi-grain flour. It's a little bit, it's not very, very pricey, but I like the idea of blending my own flours because I know what I have in when I make my blend. And you also have some local flours on the market. It's your potato cassava that has a nicer flour content as well. The gentleman also made a point about how expensive stuff is. Persons need to get back to basics and start planting their own food. I remember as a little girl, everybody peeling had spinach. No, everybody want to buy spinach. So there are certain things that we can do. And please don't tell me you don't have room, because every container that in your house, whether it had an ice cream, butter, cocoa, don't care. Once it can hold soil, you can grow something. We may not be able to grow enough to sustain the household, but it helps to offset the cost. On my step, I have broadleaf thyme, I have chive, I have garlic chive, I have shadow benny, then I have spinach. You know, I do have a few things, and I have a whole set of fruit trees in my yard. When I get seeds, I take my seeds, I dry them, I pot them. And persons need to get back to basics. You don't need fancy containers. You don't need fancy anything. All you need is anything that can hold soil. And persons need to start from cementing the entire yard and leave back some soil for planting. I am sorry, the last may say the word.
Practical, soil. Yes. It's very practical.
You need to get practical. Mm-hmm. You need to get practical. You know,
Andrea, I want to, because as we keep talking about affordable budget, something is coming in my mind too. When it comes to drinks, juices or sodas, you know, again, we see a lot of parents.
I think there's a call.
We have there's a call. Yes. All right. Yes.
Come in, caller. Come in.
Hello. Peace be on to each and everyone.
Hello, Capitan. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Ronnie, my condolences, deepest condolences again to you.
Received.
On the passing of Mr. Johnson. I totally agree with the gentleman. I don't know if it was the show last week when I was speaking about prices. And, you know, when I went off, Mr. Joseph and the ladies give me a good time. But I want to say that, yes, you can plant. I got some monkeys every day.
I knew that was coming.
Pardon me?
I knew that was coming. Go ahead.
Right, the monkeys every day. All right, the slugs. Sometimes you see the things growing so nice, and you go the next morning, the slugs. I don't talk about the spinach. I got African slugs out here. And spinach. I grow my spinach too, but I got to be, I can't let them grow on the peeling or anywhere where they could get them. I just start to put out leaves and think I pick in my leaves, because when I go back the next day, I can't find them. I'm speaking about, I hear Mr. Joseph talking about going. Mr. Joseph got the strength, and everybody, I get.
The last thing we heard, Capitan, was I get. Seems as though you've got a dead connection. We're going to wait for you, but go ahead on what you've heard so far. And if she comes back, I'll put her on. Go ahead.
All right, Andrew, you want to speak?
Hold on. Let's see if this is her. Hello, good evening.
Yeah, I was cut out.
You're back with us. Go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody can't get out to go shopping. Some people have to get people to get things for them. And no, you can't tell people. Me, when I go to buy my things, I feel them. I look at them. I assess them to get them. But everybody, like Mr. Joseph, that could walk from one hawker, you would call it, to the other to choose what they want. I got some people could only go one place because they are challenged maybe in walking or whatever. And some of them are blind. Some of them are elderly, so when we talk about things expensive and the foods we're supposed to be eating are expensive, you know, don't say we won't get up and go and look and we won't do that. Some people can't get out, you know. So I felt very bad because y'all didn't understand what I was saying. But I got things growing too, but sometimes when I go with the monkey and water take, and limes, I have lime tree, I never sell a lime, but the owners just come and pick my limes and carry them and sell them. You know, so when you say A, you have to see B. You got to be considerate. Anyhow, I enjoyed the show. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing.
Contribution.
Yes. I had a question for you. Hopefully, we'll have time to answer that question before we go on break. But I was talking about, because we're talking about a budget, and I was about to ask, as it relates to juices and sodas, which we know, we've seen it, you know, we know parents can oftentimes fill their shopping carts with juices and sodas for their children. How important is the consumption of water? Come on, we talk about a budget. You can't get more budget friendly than water.
Listen, that baffles me every time you go to the supermarket and you see a trolley full of the juices, the ice cream, the snacks and the junk food, you know, and I said to myself, but they just got money because I cannot afford those things. I really can't. And honestly speaking, though, these sweet drinks are a major contributing factor to the NCDs in Barbados. And let me say, I don't want to say sweet drinks. I don't want to say, let me say that back. Let me use this phrase, sugar sweetened beverages. Because
correct.
I don't want to give license to what persons are calling natural juices, because sometimes many natural juices contain just as much and more sugar than a sweet drink. And I have to be realistic. I have to be real. Sometimes you go to health fairs and so on, and you do a sampling and you taste what is considered, for example, I know of a carrot punch that is made with granulated sugar and condensed milk. And because it is called carrot punch, persons gravitate towards, but it is sweet to the palate. So a person's consume it. It tastes a person who is aware and who's mindful of their sugar intake to say, nah, boy, this is too sweet. So we have to be mindful of that. When we're making Mabi, when we're making lemonade, it isn't obvious to say that those things are any better than sweet drinks, you know. So we have to be cautious. We have to be cautious and pay attention to the sugar content in our beverages, whether homemade or otherwise.
Agreed. We have what is called liquid calories. You know, people are drinking, right, as you said, these sugar sweetened beverages, and they're oblivious of the amount of sugar that's in them. And you rightfully said, even the natural juices, not to, you know, kudos to those who are trying to do something, but right, sometimes they're way too sweet, they're too sugary, you know. So wanted to make a healthy food choice to buy maybe a natural juice might find that they're still back at square one, where they're consuming a beverage that is taking in a lot of sugar, and they're buying them for their children as well. And their children. So we want to be able to create an atmosphere where we can, you know, educate and empower our families to make those healthy choices. And one of the easiest, like I said, is water. Get your children to enjoy and consume water.
More water. I fully agree with that. Persons have a notion as well about diluting beverages. I just want to share with the public, when you dilute a beverage, it still contains the same amount of sugar. All you have done is reduce the sweetness. If you really want to reduce the sugar content of that beverage, you have to consume a part of it and leave the other part for another day. Diluting doesn't reduce the sugar content. It reduces the sweetness of the beverage. And I'll share a couple of tips that I picked up, you know, through my years as a nutritionist and loving to cook and stuff like that, but also doing some work with the Parish Independence Committee of St. Lucie, where they had done some natural beverages, and they use cinnamon to sweeten. I've also had experience with persons using cinnamon, clove, and bay leaf
Yes.
I've also experienced a person using aniseed. And the trick to it was to serve these beverages extremely cool.
Yes. Yes.
I think people
don't understand. That's all you want is something to quench your thirst, to just a little chill on that, and you will find that you're more hydrated or refreshed when you drink something like that versus a very sweeter option. You're actually more thirsty.
Something
that is very sweet. So it's to get people to understand the dangers of these drinks, and worse yet, when we feed them to our children, when we are packing their lunch bags, well, we know they're home now, but when we fill the refrigerator with a jug of sweetened drink rather than a jug of chill water, and we can, some of the, again, budget-friendly things, we can infuse our water, can't we? With our fresh fruits, our local fruits, if the child wants more of a flavor to the water, we can do things like that. A bit of coconut water is fine. In Jamaica, they serve coconut water to their students and in the schools, and it's well accepted. But we believe and we try to provide a lot of these sugary things, you know, and it's really causing an impact on the health of our children. Remember, our number is 434-1790. We're with our community nutrition officer. They're lovely. Keep it real. Grassroots.
Oh, you make me feel so special.
And we want to hear from you. We are talking about our children. We are talking about eating healthy on an affordable budget. And we're just going to take a little break and we'll be back real soon.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us. Please pay attention.
Please.
All these sweeties on salty chips.
Them just give hypertension.
Get some old-fashioned itch to a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed. Steady watching movies like 24-7.
Is try on going you garden. I pick a fruit or start farming. Because the state of the health of summer,
we mind is alarming.
Jeez on bread. Real talk, that gear one of sells, nah?
And we continue. This is Healthline on VOB 92.9 FM.
We keep hearing some parents and even teachers will say that children do not want to eat healthy. And I get that too. I get that as a nutritionist, registered dietitian, that they don't, you know, you hear people say they don't want to eat healthy. Get this. And that they prefer fast food and sugary drinks. But what can be done to encourage children to eat healthier? And I'm asking you the question, but I'm also going to give you my experience when parents and teachers and, you know, people say like caregivers of children, that you find that when you do provide healthier choices, nutritious and tasty choices, you are surprised the children do enjoy them. So I think sometimes the parent just doesn't want, they believe a child needs certain types of snacks and beverages in order to feed them children without actually trying a healthier alternative. We have a call on the line. Yes?
Good evening. Hello,
good evening.
Can you hear me?
Thank you for calling.
We're hearing you. Yes, please.
Yes, nice program that you're having.
Thank you.
And I appreciate all that you are doing. I just want to get my contribution. Well, I am father of three children. All right? And from the time that my children were born, I took the initiative to make sure that they drink adequate amount of water. And I never used to buy these sweet drinks and things like that for them. Right? So, sorry about that. So now that the children got big, they are like in their teens, they use a lot of water and hardly a sweet drink. Right? Now, I think sometimes the problem is, like, for me as a father, and then you have, like, a mother. Sometimes the mother seems to be doing more damage to the children than the father, you know. And these things, these kind of things, I believe, actually brought homes up in the past. And I believe that you know, they will continue in that vein, because one body pulling to the right, next body pulling to the left. Now, if I am to raise the children to the best of my ability and for their own benefit, health-wise, you know, I don't see why then the other half can't see and go in that vein. But because some people like a lot of sugar, whoever come their way, them will pass on the same sugar and all sort of things and cause problems, right?
Yeah,
if
you
I'm
know,
some person that likes a lot of sugar.
Yeah, caller, hello? I like what you're saying. There is something that, there is a saying that says the health of the nation depends upon the family. So oftentimes what you are accustomed to as it relates to your dietary habits, how you eat, how you cook, you're going to pass that on to your children. So obviously, you know, from listening to you, there is you and there's your other half, as you mentioned, and unfortunately you have different ways in feeding your children. And we wish that everybody can be on the same page, but it's just how you've been raised. You know, you like sugar, so obviously you're going to give more sugary options to your children. And you know, it's about, again, getting our parents on board to see the damage that they're doing when they make these choices for unhealthy snacks and beverages and even food choices. And like
yeah,
Andrea
but...
and I are saying, people are finding it challenging to eat or to feed their children healthily. But Andrew's been giving some really good suggestions, and there are ways that we can make those healthy food choices for our homes and families.
But not even half of our population know anything about fasting. You know, and now that the children home, every time they look wrong, they're looking for something to eat. So I bought things that the children could use that is healthy. But you know, if they're going to, every time they look wrong, they want something to put in their mouth. They don't want the same thing. I buy like rods of potato and ground food. If I have to buy food from somewhere while I'm working during the day, I always looking for ground food. And for some person that didn't give me that, just throw anything in the pot, you know, that is going to give you a good meal. Right.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you for a second. Stacey, this gentleman has answered your question in reference to, you know, how you get children to do different. He, and I like what he said about, you know, it's what you grew up with. Children can only eat what they know. Children will gravitate towards what they're accustomed to. So if you're going to take a child and feed this child, you know, all the fast food and all these snacks. And there's a misconception, something that I don't get. Like, when it comes to snacking, we often assume that snacking means something salty, sugary, or fatty.
Yes.
People don't think of, you know, let's have some fruit.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting because, sir, you can hold on. It's interesting because snacking on fruit is actually cheaper than snacking on junk. And I want to make that clear. I am sorry for the background noise. I have a little one. But you can get an apple for 75 cents. Water, as we said earlier, Stacia, is free of cost. That is a snack as opposed to a pack of, let's say, sweet biscuits. The first sweet drink, $3. Then the other snack is $2. That's $5 right off the bat. You have any idea how many apples you can get for $5?
Yeah, avoid of any real nutrition again. Because remember, we're
exactly
getting, let's feed our children nutritious food.
Nutritious food.
We are seeing the prevalence of these non-communicable diseases, and we're seeing the outcome, and we're seeing them in our children. And you know, I always remember what Dr. Kia Lewis, I love how she puts it, because we got to invest in our children. We're not going to feed our children poison. Yet we do that every day when we get healthier choices. And that's why I like what we're talking about this evening, eating healthy on an affordable budget, so that we can give parents some tips on how that can be done. Is our call still there? I know we kind of got carried away. I don't know if you finished your point. Sorry.
Not quite, but but you also have to teach your children from very small how important it is, you know, to use these things, you know, and that is what I'm a countryman, right? And one would say, well, I was raised that way, but I think only because I was raised that way, because many people that raised this way still gravitate towards fast food. I always prefer to cook, and if I got to do it every day, if I got to do it for myself, I will do it. I prefer my food above anybody else's own because mine is better. I know what I'm cooking, you know, and I get my children to understand how important it is.
This show, Stacey. This gentleman is stealing the show because he's talking of all the points that we want to make. Because, yes,
oh, sorry.
Sir, when you cook your own food, you don't have to be sorry. I love what you're saying. And I wish more persons would do, because as you said, when you use your local produce, your grown provisions, it is not only more economical, it is also more nutritious. Remember, it is harvested locally, so you can afford to harvest it at the peak of ripeness. So you have some fantastic nutritional value, the vitamin A, the vitamin C from your breadfruit and your sweet potatoes. I have a cousin at 17 years old who ate sweet potato for the first time a couple months ago. And I did oven fried sweet potatoes. And she was like, I don't eat sweet potatoes. I'm like, she's never had a sweet potato at 17 years old. But realized it was really good. And realized that oven frying was like, and she was like, Auntie, but how come I've never had this before? I was like, girl, this is your mother. You know, so it is parents that limit their children and set fear into their children. A lot of parents say to you, oh, my child doesn't eat this or that. Your child has never been given the food item to begin with because the parent doesn't like it.
Yes.
Because a
lot
of
times, oftentimes, and I had that, I dealt with something like that.
Stacey, put your mic closer to your phone. Put your mic closer to your mouth.
Sorry, I dealt with something like that couple years back, where I saw a parent and her child was being seen for failure to thrive. She was very underweight, an 18-month-old baby and toddler, sorry. And the mother said, you know, I do, and you know, as we try to find out what the child eats and doesn't eat, the mother said, I don't eat this, but we kept saying, but what does the child eat? So you're right, you know, you're right, Andrea. Oftentimes what the parent doesn't eat is what they automatically will say that their child don't eat as well. So they don't give the child the opportunity to really experience those healthy, nutritious, as we keep talking about, those locally grown foods, even things as basic as water rather than your sugary drinks. And that's what we want to continue to talk about this evening, how to get those parents really on board to, you know, give the child a choice. Just because you don't eat it doesn't mean the child wouldn't eat it. The child might absolutely love the sweet potato. It might love the breadfruit. It might like the cuckoo, you know.
But the parent, Stacia, we want the parent to model that behavior. Because when the parents do these things, the children are more willing to participate and to eat these things.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, the caller is still there. I hope he finished, made his point. I know.
Honey, we are really sorry, but we need to give somebody else an opportunity to call in. We are sorry.
No problem.
Great points, and we thank you.
No problem at all. Can I say one more thing?
It has to be very brief.
Quick.
Go ahead.
Right. Okay. I called a bakery some time ago, and I speak to the person in charge, and I told the person, I love your turnovers, but I can't buy them anymore if you're going to continue like this. The coconut, the sugar in the coconut, and then the sugar on top of it's crazy. But I believe that if you are concerned about other people, you could try and make adjustments to make people happy. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing.
After the break. Thanks.
Just because you're active, it doesn't mean that sugary drinks aren't doing damage to you and your children. 1 in every 3 of our children is overweight or obese. Sugary drinks increase the risk of obesity and type 2 diabetes. It can also bring on heart attack and stroke. Our children have a right to nutritious foods. It's time for government to remove sugary drinks from our schools.
A message from the Heart and Stroke Foundation of Barbados and partners.
You're listening to Healthline on VOB 92.9 FM. 10 minutes to go. A wonderful program this evening.
Time is going too quickly.
We are having a good time.
10 more minutes, Ronnie. Not at all. Even my little
right,
one
so Andrea. Okay, so there's another point people make in that they're saying eating healthy is too expensive. So this is kind of covering everything we talked about today. They're saying it's too expensive, and is it possible for even parents in Barbados to prepare healthy meals that are affordable and fit into a small budget as well? And I know you touched on that in several ways this evening, but is there anything more we want to share to parents that are truly, you know, sometimes we bash the ones that are not trying to make an effort, but I know there are a lot of parents out there that truly want to make the best choices for their children. But like we said, sometimes the budget is too small. Maybe they're not even working a full week. They may be underemployed. And, you know, when they go to the supermarket or the market, unfortunately, sometimes they're purchasing things that are, you know, as you said, fit into their budget, but may not be the healthier choices. What else can we really give these parents that truly want to make an effort? Because I know there's a lot of parents out there in Barbados that are listening to us that really want to do right by their children.
Definitely. And it is really unfortunate because a lot of persons truly, really cannot afford a whole lot. But I say, make the best, do the best that you can with the finances that you have. However little you have, make the best choices. So buy your barley flour, use your oat, that is reasonable. Another thing that is very, very cost effective would be peas, what we call legumes, peas and beans. They're an excellent source of protein and very cheap. Because you can get a chicken at $5 a pound. You can get a pack of peas, a pound of peas, for like $2 or $3. That would feed about 8. Whereas in that 1 pound of chicken would feed probably about 2 or 3 people. So we have to take advantage of utilizing peas and beans in our meals to stretch our meals and to stretch our budget as far as possible. We have to take advantage of that. We also have to look at controlling portion sizes. Some of us eat too much at a given meal. Some of us have 2 or 3 starches on the plate. No, don't eat until you are full. Eat until you're comfortable so you can stretch your food a little bit longer. Stop throwing away leftovers. Utilize your leftovers. Get creative with your leftovers. You might not want to feel like eating your same old tossed salad, but you can use leftover chicken and tossed salad and make a chicken salad. You can use leftover chicken, leftover any kind of meat at all, fish, chicken, beef, lamb, pork, and incorporate it into a wrap or a sandwich or what we would call a cutter. All you want to add to that is some lettuce and some tomatoes. Use leftover vegetables in soups. One thing that I do, and I met a patient had a bus stop, and she was like, "You are so familiar." And we caught the same bus because I park my car and catch the bus. Well, not North Corbin, no, but you know. And she said, "I know you." And she said, "Oh yes, you always in my head. You always in my head. You was the woman that always said, oh, cook your peas in advance and freeze certain items, because you're not only saving on the item, you're saving on gas as well. When you cook, like for example, instead of cooking half pack of peas, cook the whole pack of peas and freeze the rest. When you're ready to cook soup or, you know, rice and beans or whatever, half the process is done because your peas are already cooked. Take advantage of stuff like that. Also, plan meals based on what is in your cupboard. Many times we have food in our cupboards to expire. We cannot talk about things being expensive and we're tossing food. How many times do we buy fruits and vegetables and a week or two later we throw them out old and moldy and soggy? We have to stop that. You can, if you don't get to eat your fruit, don't let it spoil. Freeze it and then incorporate it into a smoothie or something like that, right? Another thing, we need to get back to basics in terms of preparing our own stuff. So many persons go out to buy breakfast some mornings, buy your chickenettes, livers, gizzards, sweet drinks and stuff that first thing on mornings and pastries. There's no nutritional value in that. Then you are tired. You're miserable the whole day. Why? Because you're not nourishing your system. So if you can make base, make a nice set of batter and save some of the batter in the fridge. Mix pancakes from scratch. Save some of the batter in the fridge. You can incorporate now bananas into your pancake mix. You can add nuts to your pancake mix. You send them a base, your whole grain base, by using the same oat and barley flour that I've been talking about for the past hour. So you're adding nutritional value to your meal. There's no magic.
Even as you talked about the pancakes, you know, a lot of times I see people buying a lot of pancake syrup, which is also very sugary. You can make your own blended fruit, you know, whether it's mango or golden apple, and serve it on top of your pancakes, you know, add your little raisins to it and blend it to give it a little sweetness that you might be looking for.
Correct. And what you're saying, Stacia, you normally you add your raisins and stuff, you don't need the syrup at all because it's already sweet.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So even though we might be strapped for cash, and we can all speak to that, Stacey. You can speak to that. I can speak to that. Girl. But I capitalize because I have a family of my own and I have to capitalize and budget. I have to save. So I make all of his snacks. None of his snacks are store bought. I make his banana nut muffins. They go into the freezer. I make rock cakes. They go into the freezer. The pies, they go into the freezer, and they're all made using the same flours that I am speaking about. When I make dumplings, it is barley, oat, and the same corn to enhance the nutritional value. And
Andrea, again, devil's advocate coming at you. What about that very busy mother or father that can't have the time or even know how to make these delicious
things? I have both my hands shopping? Up. Because I am that busy mother. And you know what? I take a day out of my schedule, girl, and I pray. I have a plan. I plan. Plan is the key. Because I cannot afford to go out there and buy certain things. Even granola. I buy my oats and stuff and I make my own granola. We have to educate ourselves.
Yeah, so we have Google. There's no excuse, right? We can find recipes just by the touch of a finger. Look for healthy kids' meals. Look for ingredients that we're going to find here in Barbados that are easy to find. Things in season. We keep talking about buying in season, people. You're going to have, it's going to be cheaper if you try to buy in season and buy in bulk. Andrew talked about blanching. So if carrots are plentiful this week, buy your carrots and blanch and freeze another time. Maybe next week they may not be that plentiful, but guess what? You will have carrots. You can make punch, you can make muffins, you can put it in your soup, you know. And I think listening to having this program, Andrea, I think we have a role as nutritionists, registered dietitians, to really get out there and share this practical information with a lot of the parents. All right. So,
I want to add one more thing. What is good is persons like you and myself talking about it, because persons always assume that because you have a certain job, you have money. And that's not necessarily true. Stacia, I wherever fruit is, I go. And I ask gently, can I have? So my freezer, I have jamun, I have golden apples, I have Beijing cherries, I have mangoes in my freezer.
Send me your address. I'm coming for some of your fruits, such as the jamun.
Yeah, so and I'm sharing this because I want persons to realize that things might be hard, but the little things that we can do to make our personal lives easier. So when we have mangoes, we don't have to eat 6 and 8 one time. Freeze some and use for another.
Absolutely. So, Andrea, we are just about running out. I want, if there's anything you can leave with our audience this evening, with our parents, what charge, what call to action can you give us? You know, can you tell us that they can do before we wrap up?
Parents need to be mindful. Parents and caregivers, adults, we need to be mindful that whatever we are doing now, we need to invest in our children's health. It's important. Pay attention to nutrition and take the nutritional value of the foods that we're giving them. It's an investment. If our children are well fed, they can do everything else. They will succeed in every other area once they are healthy.
Awesome. Thank you, Andrea. Thank you for joining us this evening with Healthline, eating healthy on an affordable budget. Thank you, Ronnie, behind the scene, and Heart and Stroke, and the Childhood Obesity Prevention Collegium. Please join us next Wednesday, same time, 6:30 to 7:30, Healthline, where we continue to impact this country in making healthy food choices for our children. So thank you. Have a good evening, all.
If you want to be 80 and living, cut the soft drinks out your system.
Cut them
off. Diabetes be sneaking up on us, please pay attention.
Please.
All these sweeties on salty chips,
them just give hypertension.
Got some old fashioned itch, do a tilt it back and start sipping. What you think that you getting yourself into when you sitting up on the bed? Steady watching movies like 24/7.
Is it try on going you garden, I pick a fruit or start farming, because the state of the health of summer,
we mind is alarming.
Jeez, bread. Real talk. That Gary wanna sell, nah?